This is the week when I'm supposed to preach a hard-hitting sermon telling you to get off your butts and roll up your sleeves. Start a soup kitchen. House the homeless. Run a drop-in centre. Start a free medical clinic. And if you don't, judgment awaits. But I won't go there, because many of you have been down that road and you have been burned. It's not that those things aren't important. They are really important. But that I don't think that this work is a point of tonight's passage, the sorting of the sheep and the goats, or the judgment of the nations. For welfare and overseas development agencies can only do so much. They can fill a stomach, or tackle addiction, or provide accommodation. But if we truly want to see people made whole, then we need something more. Throughout the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus tells his disciples to feed the hungry and visit the prisoner, he's not talking about building bureaucracies. Instead, he's talking about providing hospitality, sitting at the same table and sharing a meal, visiting the bedside of a sick friend and praying with them, never abandoning people, even when they go to prison. Welfare agencies outsource care. They are necessary when communal life has broken down. But Jesus Christ shows us the way to life together, a way of community, a way which provides the loving acceptance and the strong, stable relationships that people need to heal their deepest wounds. But if it's not about welfare and our failure to perform it, what's the judgment of the nations all about? Let's go back to the scene. It opens with a vision of Jesus Christ, the human one, sitting on the throne of glory with all the nations gathered before him. In other words, the judgment or the discernment is not directed at individuals. Instead, it's about groups of people, not individuals, but groups. The Greek word ethnos is usually translated as nation, but it's not limited to what we think of as a politically defined nation. Ethnos can refer to any group of people who share a common culture and common traditions. Every classroom, every sports club, every street, every church, every town has a distinct personality. So each of them forms an ethnos, a people group. And it is the people groups which will be judged. Does the people group value wealth, power, and insider status? Does it tolerate or even encourage violence? Does it ignore, oppress, or exploit its most vulnerable members? Does it enforce strong group boundaries? If the answer is yes to these questions, then that people group will face the fire. Perhaps it will be the blazing fire of riots and revolution or regular mass shootings. Or perhaps it will be the ice-cold fire of narcissism, isolation and loneliness. Whichever it is, the consequences of its culture and tradition will be devastating for the ethnos. Another people group, another ethnos, might develop a different culture. A culture with Christ at its head. Such an ethnos might value non-violence and compassion. It might seek to serve its most vulnerable members. It might reach out beyond porous and ever-expanding boundaries to others in need of what it can offer. It might welcome a stranger and learn to love them as its own. Such an ethnos will also face natural consequences, quite possibly persecution by the wider culture, but certainly the inheritance of the kingdom, an abundant creation, a generous community in which there is enough for all. Now, we've been forming the ethnos we call Sanctuary for a bit over a year now. So far, we've focused on healing old wounds, tending to spiritual hunger and thirst, and seeking freedom from prisons of fear and guilt, self-righteousness and individualism. Sooner or later, however, we will be welcoming people who are physically hungry and thirsty, completely broke, chronically ill, and facing jail. For those of us who've experienced burnout before, this is deeply challenging. When the time comes, what are we going to do? Well, we're already rehearsing. We already eat and drink together and listen to the scriptures and pray. We already care for one another, cooking for each other when we're sick and praying for each other when we're in court. We're already trying to love one another, forgive each other's faults and build one another up. And we're already doing these things in the company of Christ. And if we keep practicing being a loving, connected, hospitable people group, grounded in Christ, focused on sustaining and healing and liberating, and committed to peace and justice, then a few things can happen. We might be given the grace and the wherewithal to welcome each stranger with open arms, and to form the long-term relationships in which they and we are transformed. For when we relate to the stranger not as caregiver client, but as brother, sister, their suffering becomes our suffering, and their healing our own. We will be pushed beyond charity and into relationship. We might also be pushed to agitate for systemic institutional change, and we will support each other in that work also, but we will do so knowing that the forces are ranged against us and within us. And so our most powerful cultural critique will always be in how we model a new ethnos. If we let ourselves become a lovingly connected people group, which welcomes others and is continually shaped and renewed by the Spirit, and if we do that not only here, but as much as possible in our homes, in our classrooms, and our workplaces, then we can become a conduit for change, an ethnos which, for all its flaws and frailty, can stand in confidence with its friend and brother, Jesus Christ the King, and which by its very existence gently challenges other people groups, other cultures. So let us allow Christ to form us into his ethnos. Let us become a sign of the kingdom and God's new age. And wherever we go and in whatever we do, let us be bearers of God's renewed creation, in which there's enough food and freedom and love for absolutely everyone. Amen.